WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Continuing stifling heat in the Southwest and worry about a very powerful storm in the Atlantic, those lead our coverage of late summer weather. First about that storm, Chris Warren at our partners at the Weather Channel.
Hurricane Lee rapidly intensified to a Category 5 hurricane. Rapid intensification is a 35-mile-per-hour increase in winds in 24 hours. Lee did 80, more than doubled that threshold in 24 hours. It is now a Category 4 hurricane, which is expected to be the strength over the next several days.
When it is expected to send dangerous currents ashore along the U.S. East Coast and the Caribbean, even though it's not expected to make actual landfall. Now, the heat, the worst of that remains in Texas. Triple-digit temperatures there have been the norm in much of the state. They still are. Northern states starting to see some heat relief. Nearly 300 people are now confirmed dead. There has been damage to historic structures. That in the famed city of Marrakesh as a very powerful earthquake strikes North Africa.
Local media in Morocco are reporting dozens of casualties in the southwest of the country following a 6.8 magnitude earthquake. Its epicenter was a sparsely populated region in the Atlas Mountains, where there are few towns and many settlements are remote and hard to access. Many residents of the biggest nearby city, Marrakesh, fled their homes as the quake struck.
And that is the BBC's Gareth Barlow. A federal judge is refusing to let a former high-level Trump White House official move his election-related criminal case to federal court.
Mark Meadows argued his actions in Georgia were taken as part of his role as chief of staff. Legal analyst Lori Levinson says the judge disagreed.
As Judge Jones wrote, engaging in political activities actually exceeds the outer limits of what the Office of White House Chief of Staff should be doing. And therefore, he had no right to move his case to federal court.
By moving the case to federal court, Meadows might have had a better chance of getting the case dismissed. And if it was not dismissed, coverage would have been different since cameras would not be allowed inside. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
A former Philadelphia officer is formally charged in a fatal police shooting. Philadelphia's DA accusing ex-officer Mark Dial of murder for fatally shooting Eddie Irizarry during a traffic stop. The police body cam video is out. KYW-TV's Dan Snyder.
Back at the scene, his partner, who has not been charged, explained why they were chasing Irizarry.
We're coming down B Street and he starts flying in the bike lane.
The partner also explains to another officer what he saw and heard leading up to the deadly shooting, clearly stating Irizarry had a knife.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy.
Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, working for the weekend. It's almost here, fellas. 5 o'clock on a Friday, the happier happy hour. We got a big UW kickoff tomorrow night, playing against Washington State University. You can hear it right here on the Civic Media. You can stream that game, or you can listen to it live. WRJN, our sports flagship in the Milwaukee Metro, 1400 AM. And then the Packers kicking off. Game of the week, Fox Sunday afternoon, 3:25 Central Time kickoff. Did we mention the Bears still suck?
I think you did once or twice.
They do. They do. In my humble opinion, they do. And we have superior starting quarterback. I'm trash talking already.
Yeah, I know. Have you seen a line yet, though, Kurt? That's what I want to know.
I look up the line. Jared Goff had a good game last night.
Yeah, man.
Your boy, goodish game.
Come on. That was a stellar game. It was a hard-fought game. Now, here's what you got to know about my Lions, man. You know, they usually lose games. They get close, and they can't close it out, or, you know, something happens, or the refs are against them. You know, it's just
story of my life. Can't close the deal.
But, yesterday, last night, they closed the deal. And you can hear the roar in Wisconsin from Michigan. Tomorrow, Crudy, the Green Bay Packers. I'm sorry, Sunday.
3:25.
Favored 1.5. One and a half points.
Well, you got to have at least 1 point more to win. Not going to end on a tie.
Well, that's, yeah.
So improbability.
It's a Chicago giving up 1.5. So Packers are getting points.
Underdogs.
Yes.
Generally, home field gives you about three.
Three, right.
So we'll have to reciprocate that earlier conversation.
Yeah.
You know, if you're taking the Lions, I'm taking the Packers.
All right.
Let's just say that. I'll take my chances as well. I will take our chances on Civic Media Sports Director Mike Clemens joining us 5:30 today. He'll be in Chi-Town covering the game on Sunday, and we'll be kicking it off on WRJN, that's 1400 AM Milwaukee. Listen to ours, our Packers, our Badgers, please, please. That's why we got this station for you, for the politics, but also the sports. And there's going to be high school sports, of course, Friday night football kicking off all across the network later this evening. We got Pizza Box Mike here in Madison and Diamond Crudy, the fall love Hometown Tour 2023 hitting the road next week. And our friend up in our other friend, the guy I called, said, schedule's open. Come see me next week, boys.
All right. Well, we're working on it.
We're putting all the dates together. Next Friday, though, that's a definite. Going up to see Jeannie in Chippewa Falls, the Tap 93.5 land. Going up there because it's Oktoberfest. There's a party going on. Man.
Oktoberfest in September. I love it.
And then we've also, we'll be in Richland Center doing a Packer watch party the night the Packers play the Lions, Tom. That's September 28th. That's a Thursday night. We'll be in Richland Center, Wisconsin. I believe the Bowling Alley, the venue, Politics, then Packers. And then the 29th, it'll be straight partying, man. We'll be at Oktoberfest in La Crosse like the old days, my friend. And we'll take you with. We're going to take you, the audience, with. We're going to party with you all across this great state. And you're going to be gone a couple days, but I got some plans for that week as well. 844-967-2789. That's the grievance hotline for Fridays. Here's one I got, Dom. Washington Post. The reporting, and they have released a report out of Georgia. There was the prior grand jury, right? The investigatory grand jury. And we come to find out today, they recommended a hell of a lot more charges than were actually leveled by Fonnie Willis. And one of the ones they thought should have been charged was sitting U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham. Now, that's not the prosecutor, folks. That's what the grand jury thought. And he gave testimony before that grand jury, not pled the fifth. He went and gave testimony, and they said, that guy looks like a criminal. A little bit of the headline, a little bit of the reporting at the Washington Post, and then a little sound from the senator from South Carolina. Georgia's special grand jury recommended charging Lindsey Graham in Trump chase case. They didn't have to chase Trump. How fast can a golf cart go? An Atlanta area special grand jury that spent months investigating alleged 2020 election interference in Georgia by Donald Trump and his allies agreed the former president should be indicted in the case and also recommended charging one of Trump's closest associates, Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, I do declare, and 37 other people, a far larger group than a prosecutor ultimately charged. And the recommendations, again, a 26-page final report presented in January to Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis and made public by a judge today. The report by the special grand jury, which was an investigative body and did not have the power to issue criminal indictments, largely echoed Willis's theory of the case, recommending charges for Trump and numerous others alleging a sweeping criminal conspiracy to subvert Joe Biden's legitimate election win in Georgia. And a judge published the report at the request of the special grand jury. The jurors wanted it on the record, Tom, which cited a Georgia law that allows its recommendations to be made public. The document offered some rare insight into parts of an investigation typically marked by secrecy, not just on those who were indicted, but on those who weren't. But the report, which is not legally binding, does not include the evidence or reasoning behind the jury's thinking, though testimony transcripts and evidence are likely to emerge as part of criminal proceedings against those who were ultimately charged in the case. Well, we got some sound of our boy Lindsey Graham, or your pal than mine, Dom. What are you, Trump's pal? And then remember when Trump, like, doxed him, released his cell phone number? Remember when he got out the golf club and he was, like, taking swings at his own cell phone, had to destroy his cell phone because Trump publicly ridiculed the man. And now he has become the greatest Trump sycophant, a lapdog for the dude. Here's the sound of the senator, the esteemed senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham. I don't have the list, so let's start from the top.
All right, I got it.
So at the end of the day, nothing happened. What I did was consistent with my job as being United States Senator, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, but it was just not me.
It was just Dom, here's a little bit more of who it also included. The special grand jury's recommendation went beyond the charges Willis and her team ultimately pursued in the case, suggesting 20 other people. And here are a few of them. The names you may know. Lindsey Graham, Trump campaign attorney. She used to work at Foley and Lautner, right, Dom? Cleta Mitchell.
Cleta Mitchell, yes.
You know, the college kids that can just roll out of bed and vote. That's bad.
Yeah, it's too easy. Too easy for those kids. What are we doing?
Trump advisor Boris Epstein. Former Trump national security advisor Michael Flynn. He'd be a three-time loser by now, right, Dom? Pro-Trump attorney Lynn Wood. And former senators. Look at this. Former senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, both Republicans from Georgia. They were senators at the time of the phone call. The special election didn't happen until a couple days later. They were the sitting senators at that time. So you've got three Republican senators named in this investigatory report from the grand jury in Georgia. One still sitting. We got more sound from him. Let's play more Lindsey Graham for our fair audience. Whatever comes second.
So we're opening up Pandora's box here. Fulton County is one of the most liberal jurisdictions in the country.
So what?
I fear this will spread.
Don't do your crime in there. Don't do your crime in a liberal county if you're worried about getting criminally charged in a supposed liberal district like Atlanta.
Graham, continuing. Getting off the rails. Cut three, please.
Three United States senators. We're opening up Pandora's box. I think the system in this country is getting off the rails, and we have to be careful not to use the legal system as a political tool.
Against me, is what he's really saying. Please don't charge me.
Wow. Senator Graham, cut four, please.
Me, Senator Perdue and Loeffler, I talked to them. They were concerned about it, so...
Yeah, you know, I mean, everyone's concerned. Everybody's concerned. Oh, but he's still standing with Trump, cut five.
One thing I want people to know, I am standing with President Trump. I am proudly supporting him.
Of course he is.
And he claims, and this is, I think, you know, we can argue the fact, that he never asked to set aside ballots, cut six.
I ask him questions about the mail-in voting process. I never ask him to set aside ballots or anything else.
From the reporting of the Washington Post, Graham's calls to Raffensperger came weeks before Trump's infamous January 2021 phone call, in which the then president pressed Raffensperger to find enough votes to overturn the defeat in the state. You know, Biden won by fewer than 12,000 votes. Raffensperger later told the Washington Post he felt pressured by other Republicans, including Lindsey Graham, who he said echoed Trump's claims about voting irregularities in the state. He claimed that Graham, on one call, appeared to be asking him to find a way to set aside legally cast ballots. Again, Lindsey Graham ain't from Georgia. This is not part of his legislative responsibilities as a U.S. senator.
Judiciary committee. I mean, anything judicial, it's all very judicial, and I'm on the committee, so, you know, it's me. And he may make a distinction between what? My understanding, the envelopes of those ballots and the ballots themselves. It makes no sense, Crudy, and he will not be deterred in support. Senator Graham and other two senators as well listed in this report, not charged. Wonder why that is.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Your grievances could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5, The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the low 50s. Increasing clouds tomorrow, chance of storms in the late afternoon and evening. A high near 80. Partly sunny and low 70 Sunday. Just a slight chance of a shower. Around 70 and mostly sunny Monday. Right now it's 53.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Political Talk. The Devil's Advocates.
You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday, airing the grievances, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I don't know if we'd call this breaking news, but a preemptive strike by an assembly Republican, Wisconsin Rep. Scott Johnson. I will vote no on any attempted impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Now, in his statement, which I just read, he states, and he represents the 33rd Assembly District. I believe that's Jefferson County. I was one of 1,839,656 voters who cast a ballot in the Supreme Court race. The end result was Janet Protasiewicz winning the race. The people spoke. I did not vote for candidate Protasiewicz. I certainly do not agree with Justice Protasiewicz, especially when it comes to her openness on election maps in our state. Elections have consequences. I will be honest in saying that I would encourage the justice to recuse herself from the case. And he underlines this part. However, I will not, all caps, vote in favor of impeachment. The people of Wisconsin have historically shown that they do not support uprooting a duly elected official on the sheer basis of political disagreement. Our court has shifted in a new direction, which is the consequence of an election. Wow, one reasonable Republican has said he will vote no. Commendable, Scott Johnson. See where you stand on other issues, but today, commendable, sir.
With an asterisk, he'll still want her recusal, but he won't force it. But so what's your judgment based on what she said? They were rigged, and what Gableman's Kelly said, they're not rigged, but only the thing that she said, that's terrible. If the Republican were elected,
come on, man, let's stop
be saying anything about. Come on, I'm just telling you, man.
Let's give the guy a little bit of credit.
Come on, he's still asking for her recusal.
He's asking about? So what? I have the opinion that so-and-so should do such-and-such, but that opinion's worth about as much as zero. So his opinion on the matter does not matter. His vote, his choice to courageously say, you know what, elections have consequences. You don't hear many Republicans saying that anymore unless they think they won. When they lost, they don't say it. This guy said it. He doesn't have to agree with Protasiewicz's position. But he's not being a jacknut and saying he's going to vote for her impeachment. He's going to leave that to Robin Voss and about, 50 members of the caucus. Uh-huh. Let's get to the phones. Few grievances from the people. 844-967-2789. Our pal Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
I just wanted to respond, and I suppose I shouldn't, but I am going to because I think it's important, to our dear friend CJ, who said that Trump was impeached over a phone call. Let us stop for a moment.
Perfect phone call.
That would really be, yeah, a perfect phone call. I mean, he may not be, I don't know whether he's smart or stupid, but CJ, you sound stupid when you say that thing. You can look up what he was impeached for. It was obstruction of Congress and abuse of power. He gave a phone call to Zelensky in which he tried to shake him down to investigate Hunter Biden in return for military aid, which had been promised by Congress, but which a week before Trump had asked his chief of staff to suspend the $400 million in military aid to Ukraine. So here's this guy, Zelensky, who his country has just been invaded. He's just been elected president and invaded by Russia. For God's sakes, he's on the edge. And to shake somebody down like this, it's a mafia. It's a mafia move. It's absolutely a mafia.
And Joe, what was the ask? You'll recall the ask was, we want you to investigate Joe Biden and Burisma. But let's understand that is a complex issue, and that didn't garner any Republican support. Of course, Trump's actions in the January 6th did garner some Republican support. There were some that voted to convict, which is kind of a big deal, but ultimately the really big deal, Joe, we get to see it in trial. Trump the defendant. We're going to see it on Technicolor and 4K TV, and we'll play it for you on the Devil's Advocates, and we'll play it for you on the Civic Media.
Great.
You know what That'll I mean? He's not going to be able to escape the truth because the trial will be the truth. We'll see him in the trial.
Exactly. And I look forward to it. One of the advantages of your station is the truth comes through. And the truth is, it wasn't a phone call. It was what was said in that phone call. Right. In the same way that a mafia hitman can call to say, yeah, I'm going to do the number. I'll shoot your wife. That is not just a phone call. That is evidence within a phone call.
I need you to find me 11,780 exactly. votes. One more than I need.
Exactly.
Just a phone call.
Exactly. Yeah.
Joe, appreciate you listening. We're going to sneak a few more grievances in before our fine guest, Mike Clemens, sports director. Give you a little Packer preview coming up shortly. Tom from Grafton, you're next, though. What do you got for us, Tom?
Hello, Tom.
Well, hi, guys. Hi. To listen to the Packers, that'd be on the AM 1400 out of Racine, Kenosha, then? Is that
Yes,
is that
sir. Right? He gets all the way up to Mequon last time I was driving up there.
Okay. Along with that station, I'd called in earlier. I was wondering if that announcer from down there, from the other station, if he's going to be moving over, Lou Regani
is in conversations with the program director. Her name's Catherine Lake. We got a new programming team here at Civic Media, and I made the introductions, and I'm in Lou's quarter, and there's going to be some role for Lou. But what that's going to look like, Tom, I mean, it's been a lot of no to Lou. Like, can I start this week? No, because we're not quite ready for you, Lou. So when we're ready, Tom, when we're ready, I swear there'll be some Lou Regani love on the Racine Kenosha airwaves on WRJN. In the meantime, you're going to have to suffer through with high school sports on Friday, Badger sports tomorrow night, and of course the Packers Sunday afternoon, my friend.
Okay.
Sports, then Lou Regani. Lose later. Lose like dessert. We got more sports coming right now. Sports director of the Civic Media Network. We found him, WRJN, and of course, through coverage at Lambeau Field, he is Mike Clemens. He will join us next. Give us a little Packer preview. They play the Bears this week. Bears still suck.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Far out on the Atlantic, Hurricane Lee is not a Category 5 like it was last night, but it is a very strong Category 4, and that means
there is going to be some large waves and some dangerous rip currents at the beaches up and down the East Coast.
Chris Warren at the Weather Channel. In Texas, triple-digit heat still pretty much the norm. A Philadelphia police officer who shot and killed a driver who was sitting in his car now facing criminal charges.
Murder, voluntary manslaughter, aggravated assault, simple assault, reckless endangering of another person, and official oppression.
District Attorney Larry Krasner releasing police body cam footage of the incident. A federal judge refusing to move part of the Georgia election interference case against ex-White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to federal court.
What the judge said here is
essentially, I think you acted outside the scope of your duties. I think that you went beyond what is in the job description of a chief of staff.
Legal analyst Jessica Levinson, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Thursday Happier Happy Hour. We are happy because we got a fine guest. He is Patrick Marley, journalist with the Washington Post. He joins me here in the Madison studio, but I'm going to stop playing Monopoly, Dom. You get to roll now.
I know. I can see you, but I can't see Patrick. Patrick, hey, man, thanks for coming around. Great to talk to you once again. And literally, man, thank you for the reporting over the years. You know, Kurt and I get on the radio and talk a lot of trash and have some fun, but we have to go to sources. We have to find information and accurate information. And your journalism has been a source of that, as Kurt mentioned, for some time. Your colleagues, Molly Beck and Jesse Point, others here locally. Certainly Jennifer Rubin nationally, we quoted her in the last hour. We've been reading her stuff. So thank you for that. But Patrick, I want to get a quick opinion before we get back into some of the issues of the day. Journalism in general, as you mentioned, you've been around for some time now. How have you seen it change with ownerships and funding and of course in the Trump administration, a lot of, you know, fake media kind of, you know, turning against journalism. How do you handle that as a profession, and how do you think the industry is doing these days?
Well, first of all, thanks for saying all those nice things. I appreciate that. Yeah. Journalism's in bad shape, especially for, mid-sized markets, smaller markets. I don't think a lot of people recognize the difficulties that newspapers are having. for a variety of reasons, most of which is that people can get a lot of information for free on the internet. And it's not always, you know, you get what you pay for. So sometimes you find some free things that are really interesting to read. They just happen to not be true. And so people have gotten out of the habit of paying for good quality information, which is what they need to do if they want to have a healthy democracy. Because we have to have, you know, facts that everybody can agree on, and then they can dispute what the best thing to do about them is. And, you know, right now we have a, you know, a lot of people cannot agree on what reality is. And if you can't agree on what the facts are, then it's pretty hard to govern yourselves.
Patrick, the state of Wisconsin has mentioned a lot to talk about over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. When you're out with your national press colleagues, and they know you're beat in your Wisconsin, I feel like we're always the center of things. And not only just because we live here and I'm, you know, the kind of the ego guy, but I think I'm like, man, it's like everything that happens here all of a sudden kind of starts, you know, happening, popping up other places. What's the sense of Wisconsin as a political state with your colleagues in the media?
I mean, I think there's a recognition that it is one of, you know, a couple of ground zeros in American politics. And, you know, we have always been the swing state, or we have been for a couple of decades at least. And so we're in the middle of the action, and the overall playing field keeps shrinking, right? Wisconsin has remained this battleground, but others have fallen off. You know, Florida isn't a battleground anymore. Ohio isn't anymore. Now, it is true that places like Georgia and Arizona have become new states that have to be closely watched, because that's where presidential elections are decided. But the overall number is smaller than it used to be. So if anything, Wisconsin's relevance has increased. I mean, it's pretty wild when you think about it. The you know, the last presidential election in Wisconsin was decided by 20,000 votes. The one before that was decided by 30,000 votes. And like, we're this key player in who the next president is. It's you know, these tiny margins have outsized impact.
Well, and you have judicial races like Hagedorn and Neubauer that came down to 5,600 votes.
Exactly, yes.
Here in the state of Wisconsin. Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. We've got Patrick Marley, our fine guest from The Washington Post. I want to shout out Stein as well, though.
Absolutely.
You can't Brother not Marv. Acknowledge your partner in crime for many years. I have my own partner in crime. You know, anyways. Patrick, thank you for joining us here. The January 6th, you talk about the Wisconsin-centric nature of the news cycles and sometimes the political malfeasance, I would say. But the January 6th, in many ways, centered around the actions of what happened here in Madison and the failure to accept the outcome of Wisconsin's election. And that seemingly is still going on to this day. I mean, we've still got John Eastman visiting the assembly speaker, trying to promote overturning elections that are years gone by, Patrick. Let's talk about the January 6th. What do you think Wisconsin's role is? Is it just because we're a swing state, or was there a particular emphasis on this state?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we have in Wisconsin any more role than the other swing states. There were seven states in all where the, you know, Trump electors claimed to have won the state, even though they had lost. Most of those are swing states. For some reason, New Mexico did this as well, even though I think Trump lost by 10 points there. But, you know, very close in Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, some of these other states where you had these people purporting to be electors. And there's different nuance from one state to the next. I don't know that Wisconsin has, you know, that it wound up in that mix for any reason other than it was a very, very close state, and one where, you know, here we had this recount that went to the state Supreme Court that got decided just an hour before the electors met.
Well, and in Michigan, we've seen the false electors charged criminally.
Yeah.
Patrick, is it surprising at all we haven't seen more stories about or criminal indictments of or more focus on the actual electors, the fake electors here in Wisconsin?
So there's been no indication that I have seen that the Attorney General, Josh Call, is investigating that as a crime.
I've asked. He does not seem very interested.
I mean, we can't say he's not done an investigation because he hasn't said that either. But, you know, I think we would, when there's a criminal investigation, you start to get indications of it. And we haven't seen that. Jack Smith at the national level seems not to be going that route, though he hasn't, you know, completely closed out his investigation over the 2020 election. So I suppose it's possible, but what you're seeing is that different states are handling this differently. Michigan charged, they have 16 electors there. They charge them all with very serious felonies. I think 8 felonies each, you know, could be decades in prison if these people were convicted of all charges and given maximum sentences. Georgia, some of the electors were charged there. I think 3 of them were. Others were given immunity. And in other states, you know, Arizona's investigating, but we don't know where that's going to go. Wisconsin seems not to be doing that.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Patrick Marley, now with the Washington Post, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's where we met you on the beat, running around all over the place, Patrick. I want to talk about the journalism thing, and I appreciate the updates on the current events, but I'm really curious on your impressions during your career and as we stand now. You know, the technology change you mentioned, you know, people have now gotten new sources from different areas, and, you know, free is always good. People like free, not necessarily accurate or quality. How do you see the siloing of information content consumption? How do you see that as affecting how news and facts are distributed throughout the society?
I mean, it's, you know, concerning that you've got, you know, it used to be years ago, you had 3 major networks, right? And people would choose whether they watched ABC or NBC. It wasn't that much different. What's great about today is you have this vast variety of things that you can choose from. What's bad about today is you have this vast variety you can choose from, because people choose, especially if they want news that has something that reflects their own point of view, they'll watch or read or hear that stuff, and they won't hear things from the other side. And it gets to the point where people cannot conceive of the idea that people who believe differently than them political have good intentions at heart. It's the other side is evil. And there's an inability to understand the other side. I think that's one of the downsides of this siloing that you see.
At the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I believe it was Roy Wood Jr. I met him, a comedian, funny guy. But his criticism, he said, you know, some of the greatest journalism in this room is happening in place behind a paywall. And mm-hmm. I would say, you know, certainly is the case with the Journal Sentinel. We've seen the evolution of that. And every media outlet's got to have their own monetizing way of doing it. I'm in the radio business. We sell ads. But I've often thought that radio and I'm not trying to take you too far afield here, Patrick, but radio in the state of Wisconsin, I thought, had an outsized influence because we've always had slow internet in many parts of the state. Mm-hmm. And even if you have a desire and a willingness to invest in subscription media, you don't always have internet that delivers that in a timely fashion, and at least not streaming, whatever the case may be. I always felt like this electorate here in the state of Wisconsin is getting a lot of their news from talk radio, and it's free and it's always there and you can turn it on in your car. And I felt like if, quote unquote, the left or something other than conservative thought didn't put some free outlet out there, I always read the Post. I love the Post. I can afford a subscription to the Post. A lot of my listeners never read the Post. Cost too much money. Do you?
They missed a great Labor Day sale where they could have gotten a year for $29 or 50 cents a week. I came on too late for the plug, but I hear your point. I mean, we can't all look, I'd like to read all of the Ohio papers and all the Michigan papers and all of the Wisconsin papers. You know, there's also the time component, right? You can't, who hasn't looked at their phone, and, you know, it's this bottomless well of information, and you get overwhelmed. So it's like as much a time problem as a money problem. I mean, I'd love for all our stories to be free because I just want people to read what I'm writing. But, you know, they have to give me a paycheck, or at least they do if they want to keep showing up for work.
Yeah, I know how that works.
And the model has changed, because in the old days, newspapers got most of their money from ad revenue. You know, the subscribers had to pay money, not insignificant amount of money, but most of their money came from ad revenue. And now advertisers, why would you go into a print newspaper, which is really expensive, when you go to the newspaper's website, target it to the readers who are clicking on certain stories and get the exact customers you want for a much smaller cost. Well, that's good for the businesses that are advertising the paper, but it's not good for the newspaper because they're making much less money and their costs haven't gone down.
Any concern amongst the, let's call you a real journalist, as contrary to Dom and I, any concern about these sort of newsrooms that are funded by political motive?
Absolutely.
We see 501c3s or whatever, and they look very newsy and they offer you lots of content, and then you realize, but it's probably driven by political agenda. Patrick, how invasive do you think that is currently?
I mean, there's it's a problem. It's definitely a problem to have anything that is presented as news that is not news, that's not, that's got some other motive behind it. And sometimes that's just clickbait meant to, you know, just get you to click and get money that way. Sometimes it's something for a partisan reason. Sometimes it's super obvious. You go to the Gateway Pundit, it's like, oh, I can see these people's agenda. And sometimes you go to a site and it initially looks like it's, you know, just normal straight ahead news. And it's not until you've spent some time with it, it's like, oh, wait a minute. What is this site? Where did it come from? And, you know, people are overwhelmed. As I said before, it's hard to do your independent research every time you go to a freaking website.
Patrick, do you feel like as a journalist, and I realize there are limitations ethically, I did go through some journalism classes. Dom never did. but we are not constrained by being able to offer our opinions through the work we do here. Do you ever feel constrained as a journalist to say, well, this side said and this side said, but this guy lies through his teeth constantly. You really shouldn't believe him. He's not credible. But you can't really lay that out in every journalistic article.
So no, I don't feel constrained. You know, I'm not one that really wants to share my own opinions or let them color the work that I do. But if I am quoting two people and one of them has a history of lying through their teeth, I just tell the readers that, right? Like if you lie to me, I'm going to either not quote your lie or I'm going to quote your lie and tell my readers that it's a lie. So, you know, we have a duty to not just prevent Democrats said this, Republicans said that, and you decide. We do want you to decide, but we want to give you full context and all the information. So, you know, if we're going to talk about recusal rules with the Supreme Court, it's important to say suddenly everyone's views have changed on recusal rules. And that goes from the right, which has said nobody should ever have any say, you have a duty to sit, to all of a sudden like, boy, I don't know if this justice can sit in this case. And simultaneously on the left, them saying we need this really hard and fast recusal rules, with this really high standard, objective way of looking at it. People need to get out of the way. If there's even an impression of possible conflict to, well, I don't know, we have a duty to sit. You got to hear the case. It doesn't look like a problem to me.
Patrick Barley from the Washington Post. Great radio show or greatest radio show ever.
That sounds like a trap.
More Devils. We'll be back.
Thank you, Patrick.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the low 50s. Increasing clouds tomorrow, chance of storms in the late afternoon and evening. A high near 80. Partly sunny and low 70 Sunday. Just a slight chance of a shower. Around 70 and mostly sunny Monday. Right now it's 53.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789.
I think I was overindulging with Patrick Marley there. we were trading war stories, you know? It's good to see a fellow journalist.
Fellow journalist.
Yeah. Now that he's not here to correct me, I'm going to call myself a fellow journalist with Patrick Marley.
Yeah, your journalist hat on now here. I thought you were just a talking head.
Well, he's with the Washington Post, and I'm with the Madison Bureau of the Devil's Advocates. great to see Patrick Marley. I was telling him, he asked me, what about Ron Johnson? When's the last time you guys had him on? I said, it's been a while. And I told him the story about the off the record with Ron. And his team wanted to have an off the record with
welcome
me
like back.
12 days before the election. So I tell them the story, you know, I'm meeting Ron and Ron, you want to talk to me? No, not really.
No, not really.
And then the whole off the record, which I would keep confidential if it was actually anything meaningful, but the off the record was effectively Ron trying to reinvite himself on the greatest radio show ever. And so far our attitude is, don't call us. Don't call us. We'll call you. And perhaps we will someday, Dom. Perhaps.
Perhaps someday you will. I won't.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be absent that one day. Yeah. I think I know when I'm going to book Ron Johnson.
That's right.
I'll have to find out if he's in the district. Well, you can play right now. We still got time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, always a patient man. Mark, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark. Oh, you should have not. Don't call us. We'll call you as a music bump when you just said that. it's ridiculous. And congratulations on keeping CJ on topic. And he just hated that you were expecting him to stay on topic.
Can I come and disrupt your radio show with whatever random thing I read on Fox News Digital today?
And if you don't let me, you're violating my freedom of speech.
I point out to CJ that you should actually read the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin, where it says compact, contiguous, and it's
so
the
Supreme words. Court
that decides whether things are constitutional. But let's remember that Brian Hagedorn actually helped Scott, was participating when Scott Walker drew up those original corrupt maps back in 2011, I believe, that he was a legal advisor in that whole process.
One must presume his chief legal counsel helped craft in some way, shape, or form, but we don't know that. We don't know. I'm sure he'd be nothing but honest in his own decision to, he didn't recuse the last time.
Well, they did, and they farmed it out to a law firm, right? And they had to go off-site and look at a secret room to see their district maps. I mean, so what? I mean, there was a firm, it wasn't him.
It wasn't, wait. The maps in question would not have been the maps drawn or assisted by Hagedorn, because the maps that came before the court when Hagedorn was on the court are the newest round of maps that were just least changed from the terrible baked in the cake. Right. Hagedorn perhaps influenced Scott Walker signed maps from a decade ago.
And it was interesting, a program I heard earlier today is apparently that Annette Ziegler, 11 times she violated the Code of Ethics when she judged on cases that her husband's bank was a party to, where she should have actually recused herself, because there actually is recusal rules for some of the lower courts. So, I mean, that this nonsense of corruption in office, I mean, by those standards, Annette Ziegler came into the Supreme Court corrupted.
Well, so did Gableman. The ads that helped him win the campaign were blatantly racist and unethical and untrue, And of course, there was no one to basically say, you're bad and you shouldn't do that, Gableman. You need to serve a penalty, because of course they get to judge themselves on the Supreme Court. It's so ridiculous. 844-967-2789. Ridiculi. What's the
plural? So many ridiculousness. So much ridiculousness. Redemption, perhaps, today. Crudy of The Hill reporting. Peter Navarro, he's a former Trump economic advisor.
Redemption in his guilty.
Contempt of Congress following a jury deliberation that lasted nearly 5 hours.
Yeah, but they let the jury deliberate outside recess, and apparently his lawyer has already said they might have seen some protester signs, so they've been influenced. We've got to appeal.
Yes, that is also true, Crudy. Let me pull that one up as well. Navarro claims mistrial. It's a mistrial after ex-Trump advisor is convicted. Here's the story. Stanley Woodward, he represents Navarro in his contempt of Congress case, claimed that the jurors who deliberated for nearly 5 hours before reaching their verdict went outside during their break and were exposed to protesters with signs related to the January 6th riot. However, prosecutors claimed they did not see any protesters outside the exit used by the jurors, and the presiding judge said he would not rule on the mistrial request until the defense provided him with video or photo evidence. Navarro convicted on 2 counts of contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena from the White House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The former Trump advisor argued that he was prevented from producing documents and appearing for a deposition as requested by the committee because Trump invoked executive privilege. However, the judge barred Navarro's attorneys from using the executive argument at trial, finding that they had failed to prove that the former president formally invoked the executive privilege. Navarro is the second Trump ally to face contempt of Congress charges after former White House advisor Steve Bannon was similarly convicted of 2 counts of contempt earlier this year. I mean, they're desperate. They're so desperate. Oh, my God. There are people outside. They went outside. There's protesters outside. Well, if they're outside and they're outside, they're probably outside together. Oh, my God, mistrial. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. If that were to be the case, then the judge will make that determination. But they're just desperate.
Margaret from Cottage Grove, you'll have the last say today. What is it?
Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I was thinking that I saw a report a few months back that Robin Voss, in a private group meeting, said that he was embarrassed to be a UW graduate. How then can he, in good faith, vote on funding for UW?
Are you suggesting the Speaker of the Assembly should recuse from all votes on the UW system due to his prejudgment of the system?
Or should he be impeached?
Yes.
Okay, I'm reading this right. That's what.
Margaret, thank you for your contribution. We appreciate when people play along. Friday's going to be the best of all because we're going into a big kickoff weekend for the Packers. We got Mike Clemens joining us, our own sports director here at Civic Media in the 5 o'clock hour. You're all going to join us. You're all going to listen, not just us, but also to Maggie Dawn, Raised in the Wisco, and Rick Smith. Keep it locked right here. Civic Media. I know you will. Guilty.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.